Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined by, there he is, it's producer Joel.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Joel. How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm cracking, Mark.
Tired,
how are you?
Mate. You look tired. I think I look tired.
That's probably because I'm up so late cooking pancakes last night.
Why were you cooking pancakes late?
No, because I had them for pudding, but I had dinner late.
Wow.
I had to have pancakes.
I had some. And I had some on Sunday night as well.
What do you like on your pancakes?
What do I like on my pancakes? Sunday, I went for lemon, sugar.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
And then when I was a kid, I used to like golden syrup on mine. And I thought, I'm
going
to do that tonight. And that was yesterday. And I'll tell you what, Joel, I wish I'd done that Sunday. It was so nice.
Yeah, delicious.
And now I'm on a diet. Terrible for you, pancakes.
Of course.
What did you have on yours?
I watched Saturday Kitchen at the weekend, and they made some pancakes. And I mean, I didn't copy the like ricotta pancake recipe that they did. But what I did notice is that James Martin, that's him, isn't it? He just put a load of maple syrup in a frying pan and cooked blueberries in it. So I did that. That's absolutely amazing.
What? Simple.
You heat up a load of maple syrup, chuck a punnet of blueberries in there, and let them cook. It's unbelievable.
Wow. There you go. Next year, I probably would have forgot. I'm having trouble here, Joel. I just had a shower, and I got the little headphone buds in, and I obviously haven't dried my ears enough, and they keep sliding out both sides, and it's... Oh, God, it's so annoying. It's like one of those, like, what do you call it? I don't know. Oh, that's stressful. I just want them to stay in, but I could just feel them exiting my body.
Just keep one in and tilt your head.
I'm gonna tilt my head, and I'm going to stick my finger in the other ear. So, Joel, it's now time for a regular feature of ours in the intros. What has Mark received via email from Spotlight?
Oh yes, I love this new feature.
What do you think it is this week? Can you hazard a guess?
I think it's
not this week. It's every bloody day. It's a what? Scarecrow
that's come to life.
No.
You'd be good for that.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, of course.
A Bristol accent soldier.
Okay.
So it's a voiceover for a soldier video game. Genuine Bristol accents. Joseph was born in 1915. He left school as soon as he could and ended up joining the army at the age of 23. He is brave, determined, and endlessly resourceful. He is quintessential... it's cut it off. I've got to read more. You read enough. £200 an hour for that.
Can you give us a little blast of Bristolian soldier?
Oh, how does... All right,
Wheeler.
Hey, get down. I got a grenade over here. Come on. Get down. Kick it away. it's a machine gun.
What?
Do you reckon I'll get it?
I think you could probably get the part. I think they'll probably just take this podcast.
All right, let's go over the top.
Use that audio.
Ironically, that was over the top.
No, I liked it.
Ah, there you go. I'll submit that then. Could you do the audio and just cut it out for me?
Yeah, I'll cut that out. You send that straight to Spotlight with an invoice attached.
Good work. £200 an hour, Joe. Can't sniff at that.
Not bad.
Cannot sniff at that. Cool. Well, let's crack on with the podcast, Joe. Who have we got this week?
We've got the superb Matt Reed.
It's Matt Reed. Here he is. That's what I was going to say. So, because you MC a lot, when you go on, you just go without a plan. You have, is there nothing?
Yeah, usually. I'm one of the ones that, like, I'm in the dark in the back watching people come in, going, "Oh, tell you who he looks like." In my head.
Oh, right.
I mean, I've been at the minute. I've been comparing my dog walks, and if I'm like talking to people with the, because like, I've got a dog at the beginning of the first lockdown, and when I'm at walk, she's a lovely little whippet, and everyone loves her. So everyone like fusses over her, and like every time she fusses, I'm like, there's a gathering of three people. I'm going, "Oh, hey, where are you from? What are you doing?" I absolutely smashed a trip out for milk the other day. But I've been enjoying writing not jokes so much, but I've had sitcoms in my brain and ideas in my brain for ages, and just never realised how much spare time you've actually got when you don't use it. You know?
Yeah.
And I've sat down and I've written and I've been really enjoying that.
Oh,
and,
great.
But not jokes. I've written like sitcoms and ideas and stuff like that. Just to get it all out, you know, because it's like I've been doing comedy for, this is my 22nd year.
Wow.
And like, I didn't realise just how important it was to us. Like, I mean, I, over Christmas, I used to get a bit antsy.
Yeah.
If it was like 2 weeks without a gig, I'd be like... But now I am absolutely climbing the walls. I'm going, like, I've got to do something. Like, everything. I mean, yourself, I'm chuffed to be able to do your podcast, and I love doing podcasts as well. So every time I get the opportunity, I'm like, yes, yes, absolutely.
It's so good to talk. It's so good to just talk to comics, though. That's why I love it. But that's why this has sort of kept me going in lockdown, because you don't even realise how much you miss that.
Yeah,
just chatting to comics in the green rooms, and you know.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, that's a lovely view you've got, by the way.
Yeah, well, I had to move back out of London, so I'm back at my parents', and they've got this new conservatory thing, and it's
that's very nice. Where's that then?
It's in Canterbury, near Canterbury, in the countryside.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's really nice. Like, it's so nice being able to just go for a walk. Do you know what I mean? Because in London, I was right in the middle of it.
Well, I lived in London for a year. I don't know what to say, it's a whole stereotype, but I honestly, it used to drive, makes my skin crawl when I get off the train in London. I'm like, oh, go out here, this place. I've just moved with me and my girlfriend, just bought this flat and in Newcastle. Mm. And it's in quite a nice part of Newcastle, Jesmond, but it's also a very student area. And it's honestly, you couldn't ask for a better flat. I love it. It's absolutely gorgeous. We've got all the nice floors, all the bookshelves and all that.
And hecklers.
You hear that? That's the students. And that is almost constant.
Oh, really? Where are they?
I screaming, "Please let me out. My mum's got money." Not having it. But upstairs, like, for some reason, obviously the unis are closed, and upstairs they went home and the back, and I've got no idea why. But they're there, and now I've got to let them off with like water cuts, because they've got six people in a flat that shouldn't hold four, and every time they go across, it's like some sort of break dancing hippo. Every time they go across the floor, which I've got to allow, I can't say, "Can you just not walk across your floor?" But they're like probably like Henry F.R. and the volume that they talk to each other.
That's like the North South divide in a block of flats.
Yeah.
Except they're north this time.
Yeah, but the volume this week is like every time she comes in, oh, I'm just like, "Oh, God." And I am the grumpy old man downstairs now. I've turned into that because I've got a tennis ball. Because rather than make them come all the way down the stairs for me to complain at them, I go out the front and their window's just up there. I just chuck this tennis ball. I've got a specific tennis ball by the window.
They say fuck off on it.
Shut them up. Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, one night, the other one, the music was like, and I was like, I'm loving this. It was like quite late, no. So I chucked the tennis ball, and my mum went, "Oh my god, the tennis ball!" I've got them genuinely terrified.
It's like a character in their life now.
Exactly. It's a tennis ball, man. At the beginning, the first one, we had a bunch of students, both different students to the ones when we first moved in, and they were like proper Rars, and they were chucking cigarettes into my backyard from the window. Because the North South thing as well. I went up like, "Will you stop throwing tabs into my window? And out your window, into my yard?" And one of them leaned out the window and go, "I'm sorry, who's throwing tablets into your yard?" I was like,
So you saying you don't really write jokes, but that's a really funny situation. So, well, basically, one, that's ideal for a sitcom.
Yeah.
That would work as a story on stage. So would you sort of think that's an interesting situation then? Would you just go on stage and talk about it and see what happens?
Yes, I have. I've talked about, because when I do gigs in Newcastle, a lot of the people from Jesmond have got these the ones with the expendable money, the students that can go to the comedy clubs and they do. I've done a few, you beat Newcastle Stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best clubs in the world. It's amazing. And they've got Red Raw on a Wednesday, and it's like there's queues to get in and people getting turned away every Wednesday.
Ah, cool.
And they say it's full, you can't get moved. It's one of the best. And if I ever have a bad gig, I was like, if I just have a gig where I'm just like doing it for the money on a weekend, I was on a Wednesday, I'm kind of hop on just to remind us why I do this gig. Okay. And it's brilliant. But it's just like, so I'll actually actively like call them out, who lives in Jesmond.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, wait, and another thing. Because there's a bunch of clowns. There's two of the most beautiful parks in the northeast, just about 200 metres down there. And they're over by the bins playing cricket and screaming at each other. And they're screaming horrible things like, "Oh, you fucking retard." And I'm like, "Oh, lads, shut up." But I know what you mean. Like, there's a lot of things that are happening that you can, right when I've been doing Zoom gigs in lockdown, there's a lot of comics going, "Oh, I'll just try my new stuff." I'm like, "New stuff?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?" But then you get people that are doing stuff like, again, "Oh, yeah." They'll come and go, "Oh, you know," and they'll be talking about Tiger King and all that. "This isn't your stuff. This is just stuff you've read off the internet, man."
Yeah.
Don't come up with something. Like, I can't, if I, who's old clapping? Shut up.
That's got old quick now.
Yeah, exactly. It became a lot of stuff became hack, like that. Yeah, everything's like gone. You've got to be quick with jokes now, and you've got to get them online instantly.
Well, that's what I found, because I've always put stuff online, but since lockdown, every comic has so much time now. Everyone's doing it, so you've got to be like lightning to get in there first. I remember I thought of a really good one. I can't even remember what it was, and I thought, "Oh, that's good. I'm the first one to do it." And then Richard Osman did the exact same one about, he doesn't follow me, so he hadn't seen mine. And then see the same joke, and he's got getting the thousands and thousands of likes and relikes. Like, I did that first, but it's literally 3 minutes, I think, which is really weird.
Twitter, it is like, it's an absolute sprint.
They're back.
Honestly,
can we do a live tennis ball on the podcast?
Well, that's not even upstairs. That's the clowns out the back, which is there's a party up and down that street just about every night. But like, there's this thing that the Newcastle Uni, because there's a bit of money in Newcastle Uni, and these are all like proper money students. Right. It's called Operation Oak, where it's like it's basically like the university pays for this group of people to go around like antisocial behaviour team from the uni. The uni pays for it. They go around. They knock on the door and tell them to shut up. And if they don't, then they get like a mark against the name. They find out which uni they go to, and the uni deals with it.
Oh, wow.
If they repeat the bend, ESB, with the antisocial behaviour, they get chucked out for your uni course.
Oh, wow. Are you on that team, yeah?
Yeah, I've
you're tipping them off. It's with the grass.
With me, it's more like it'll be a death squad. If you get marching them out, move! I can't honestly... drive me head in, but other than that,
I feel like there's a joke in that antisocial behaviour team, because it sounds like they could be the ones that are the antisocial ones. So they're going around kicking over bins.
Just came around with loads of noise. I was like, this is what I want. But I mean, I know you put up a lot of jokes online. I follow you on most of the social platforms, and I often read yours with my girlfriend. We often have a good chuckle.
Oh, that's nice.
I love a one. I always remember that. I think we did a gig in, it was Preston once.
We
haven't gigged together.
No, which is odd. But I tell you what, I don't know if it was Preston, but I was going to say, when you mentioned the North South Divide, I think the first time we ever gigged to each other, I think it was Blackburn. And you were MCing, and it was, I'll always remember it, because you were MCing, and then you were smashing it, and I was thinking, this is going to be great, I can't wait. And then as soon as I walked on, and they heard my accent, it was like you hadn't even been on. It was like, it was just starting fresh. And it was such, it ended up going okay, but it was such a battle getting them on board. And I was like, that was sort of one of my first experiences of that, like, all right, he's from South, is he? Right, here we go.
Yeah,
but
that was a weird gig, that, because it was a lot of families that had matching. I mean, not without joking, there was a lot of families that had like matching tats and stuff like that. Like,
there you go.
All the families were, yeah. They were a rough crowd, and we were only laughing like the lads were only laughing like this. Rather than, like, yeah, I'm not giving them the satisfaction, and only made me laugh. That's a bit gay.
Who was that for? Is that like the Frog and Buckets have a gig or someone's?
Yes, I think it was a Frog and Buckets, because it was you. I think Bethany Black was on as well. That's the thing. Bunch of hairy ass blokes, and then Bethany Black was joined last, and she was like, "I don't know what to do. I was just gonna be fine." And she was fine. She's smashed. That was a rough gig. I loved that.
But have you ever had that at the opposite? So have you ever had that when you go down south, you get the same sort of frosty reaction?
No, that's the thing. It's a good thing having this accent, like the Geordie accent, because it's universally quite liked.
Yeah.
I don't know what a lot of people say. I cannot stand the Geordie accent.
Yeah.
I just don't. And it's not like an arrogant thing.
I mean, Ant and Dec probably help that, because they hear their voice. Everyone loves Ant and Dec, so you instantly hear the Geordie accent, and it makes you happy, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing that there's a lot of things that all the call centers work in the Northeast, because the Northeast got the most friendly accent. I was like, no, it's not, because we'll work for less, so because there's no one else to do. But the Geordie accent, like, if you go to Ireland, we've got quite a good Celtic connection, like the Northeast and Ireland. Scotland, you're just Scottish with your head kicked in. I think that was what we got. Where further south go, like, it gets more and more, like, people think, oh, look at, oh, it's charming. And if you're out in Wales, you're just happy to see anyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, hello. it is a handy tool to have. Because it's nice and friendly, but you can turn it aggressive if you want.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Have you done material about that whole thing?
Yeah, well, I've done, I tell you what, I don't know why, a long time ago, I've got a big section on the Northeast accent, like a bit about a talk funny because of where I'm from kind of accent, that's what I call it, where, like, I say certain words like hula hoop, burrito, cookie, umpa-lumpa, and things that people have genuinely asked us to say. And one of the ones people asked us to say was, didn't bring a pony into the grove, Jeff will gone mad, right? That was one of the, like, it was just a really obscure sentence from Bite the Grove. And this is how, I did that years ago at the Hyena in Newcastle, when that was still open. And this bloke comes up and goes, "Hey, by the way, I liked your set, but it wasn't a pony, it was a goat." And I went, "All right." And he goes, "No, it was my goat."
What?
His goat acted in Bite the Grove and he wanted acknowledgement.
Well, you know, as someone who has jokes nicked all the time, I think it's good to give credit where it's due.
But I had this whole section on my accent, and Jimmy Carr used it on his Naked Jip radio show.
Oh.
And I didn't know about that, actually, as it happens. I saw him and went, "I've just heard you on the radio," and I went, "On what?"
Oh, he quoted you.
Yeah, he says, this is Matthew Reid. It was about accents and how you can use your accent to comedy effect. Southern comic Matt Reid using his accent. It had the whole section of me teaching people how to speak Geordie with certain words.
Aye.
And like roller coaster and stuff like that. And then it's still on there. If you have a look at Jimmy Carr teaches regional accents to Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek, he uses all exactly the same words to teach them from that I use in my set to teach Antonio Banderas.
Oh, what, like on a chat show or something?
Yeah, I on a Graham Norton show.
How do you feel about that?
I was a little annoyed, and then I went, what am I going to do? I think you'll find I pronounce words that way on stage. Yeah. So. But the thing is, like, I wouldn't have a leg to stand on if I wanted to whinge about it, because he definitely used it in his radio show. So he definitely used it in that context from me,
yeah,
with me acknowledged, and then he used it. I mean, but like, yeah.
I mean, he might. The thing is, he might have said your name in the thing, they probably just would have cut it out and left
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a lot of debut, but to be honest, it's just now just another Sami Hayek in a kind of way.
It's essentially a compliment to you. That
because
it's like someone said that when I used to get a bit annoyed about my jokes getting sort of nicked and stuff, and it's like, if you just take a step back, that is nice that that joke is now in circulation and everyone really likes it, and that came from my brain. Like, that's cool.
It is. I tell you, this is how old I am. When I first started, I was in a double act.
What were you called?
Matt and Farron. Guess what the other lad's name was?
Matt.
Yeah, it's changed my name to Farron. I was just that wacky. Matt Barry used to do all these daft songs, and we were very much a comic. You know, like, it would be like, the songs would be so far. Like, I mean, we'd never get away with a lot of the shit we used to do on stage now. And that's not like, not a good thing. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, but they were better when I was allowed to do rape jokes, you know what I mean? But like, we used to do horrible stuff. It was like, really, because we were like quite new, and we're like the darker stuff.
The shock, you know, value.
Shock value. Yeah. And we used to do a lot of that. Now, but like, we used to have a great time doing it. We used to, we kind of refined it before it finished. What a great bit. And when we didn't have that, he was like the idiot, and I was all like smart, and I'd like, we'd do the songs, but it'd be more shocking coming from me that I was like the horrible stuff. And he'd be like, and then they'd feel sorry for him.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
He did, but I wrote a joke, and this was years ago, and this, instead of it being like a tweet or anything, do you remember when you used to get, I'm not sure how old you were actually.
36.
I mean, you will. I remember when you used to get, instead of tweets, or the way you'd find out jokes would be like, it'd just be a text chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Text jokes.
And emails.
And one of mine, like, I got my own joke texted to us from like about 30 other people. And I was like, hold on a minute.
Oh, really?
And it was no joke. It's been used a lot. I wrote it. I mean, someone else might have come up with it as well, but the joke was, it's quite offensive.
Great.
As is Harry Potter, who likes it, and everyone cheered. And I went, all right, well, grow up, it's for kids. But I think it's a bit far-fetched. You might have heard the joke that we said. I think it's a bit far-fetched. I went, I know it's Wizards and Goblins, but a ginger kid at school with two mates. Come on, right, now. That was the joke.
Oh, I've heard someone do that on like a special, I think. Yeah. So you've had loads of jokes lifted at all.
Yeah, I've had jokes lifted. I mean, without a doubt.
Is that why you don't bother writing them now? You just want to go in the room because people can't nick them now.
But it was all right. You know, like, I wasn't that fussed about it. And we still used it. Mm. But my favourite one that he used to use, because he was
the. By the way, I find it very offensive.
Yeah, good. but where you came from. Yeah. But I used to do this brilliant bit. I used to love this bit. I used to have a backstory about me finding him feral in Habsley Forest while I was on my school trip. And I took him under my wing and looked after him. And I says, obviously, when he got older, he wanted to like, you know, be with women. And I says, but he'd been living with animals. He couldn't just go out to humans. So I said, says, you slept with a squirrel, didn't you? And he goes, yeah. I went, how was that? He goes, oh, she hit me nuts in the morning. I went, oh, right. And I says, you went with a tiger, didn't you? I went, how was that? Went, great. and then it would be my I goes, oh, you slept with a dolphin, but I don't suppose there was any purpose to that relationship. And then I'd laugh, and he'd just go stony face and go, no, I meant she used to hit us. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
I love that. It's so silly. So then the twist that comes is so much more powerful. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
He did one of the most contrived jokes. There was a bit where we'd sing a song together and I'd offend him, and he'd run off and leave us on my own. Not he'd offend me, and I'd run off and leave him on his own. And he'd be on stage going, and then he did this. He goes, I went to the doctor's the other day, and I said, doctor, every time anyone comes around the house, I rearrange my furniture, I ask them questions, and then I make them listen to a band. says, "Oh, you've got Parkinson's."
You know what? I've heard a lot of Parkinson's jokes that I don't think are that great, but that's the best one I've heard, actually. That's great.
I used to love doing the double act. We used to do a rap at the end called so that all the rappers clear me from the streets. I put them from the streets. I mean, the only people that live on the streets, you know, it's called Tramps. so from the bin raking tour, I'd like to introduce Snoop Doggy Dog on a washing line. And he comes out in the bin bag, and I come on as 50 pence, which was an original joke at the time. We did a rap about being on the streets, and one of the lines is that, I think it's you're listening up while you rap home, boys. The homeless guy's going to make some noise. Rap starts today. You think you're street living in your big ass penthouse suite, sipping gin and juice in your Armani suits, while I've got to mug some fucker just to get some boots. Here's a message from me to you. Chicks really dig you when you smell a special brew. And then we do a robot dance. Well, why was it? But it was a great one. It was house flies, mothballs, fleas, itchy, itchy. We're infested with all the pests in the city. This is rash hot. This is rash hot. And then we go scratch it. And as we scratched ourselves, the record, we go.
That's so.
It was very well.
Yeah. So where did you do that? In Edinburgh?
Yeah, no, we didn't. That's the thing. We were both like, I was working in a supermarket at the same time. Mm. And he was the laziest human being I have ever met in my life, where he used to live like 10 minutes from the train station and every single time he'd be late. But we did it all over. We got into loads of clubs and that, and did a lot of clubs. So one of the worst gigs we ever had was the Glee, which is my favourite gig of all time. One of my favourite gigs ever. Like the Birmingham Glee. It was phenomenal. Roger Monkhouse was comparing. He didn't know us at the time, and I love Roger now, but like, he was a bit of a moany old cat at the time, and he was stoned, allegedly. And he was a bit off. And he goes on, and he did 25 minutes at the top. Then Alan Carr went on and did 40, and it was supposed to be a break, but Roger had forgotten it was a break, and he was going, "Oh, it was bloody good." I mean, Alan had smashed the room into oblivion, and there should have been a break. And he goes, "Oh," and I was ironing my shirt, And he goes, "Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the stuff we do now. Is introduce the fine lack of this section." I was like, "What?" Yeah, it's Matt McFarren. And this was my trial for the thing. On the leg, let us get put themselves, we "Hello." And the crowd had enough at that point. They wanted a break.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would get "Hello," and we get "Suppose." We tanked so badly. I always feel sorry for like character acts and novelty acts, because if the crowd get you, you will tear a room apart.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you die, then you've got to do some wacky shit in front of people. Wear sunglasses, bin bags for the tram ramp. You know, and everyone's going.
It's the classic middle spot, isn't it? It's mad, isn't it? Because they either smash or they get nothing. There's not really a lot in between with those sort of acts.
That's the thing. Like when you talk about the Glees and stuff like that, I miss comedy all the more. Mm. Like, I mean, I'm not going to miss Scunthorpe on a Thursday. there's a gig in Scunthorpe, which is it is always a chore. But it's the travel, like. Because I was like, you don't want to stay in Scunthorpe. So the travel back, like, I've got a middle of Doncaster at 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for the last train, just going, like, excuse me, have you got a seat? No, just tucking one of the tentacles back into his coat. Horrible.
Yeah, man. I miss it. Is the double act the first thing that you did?
No, I didn't. I did. The very first gig I ever did was just on my own, because I used to write sketches with Farron and my mate Michael. We used to get stoned and just watch like really good comedy.
Allegedly.
And we're I know 100%. We used to get on a weekend. We used to have a smoke and I'd just be mashed and we'd watch stuff like Brass Eye and Blue Jam and anything like that. Mm. And the Fash Show. We used to love the Fash Show. And we just went, should we try some of this? And we're like, all right. So we got a camera and we filmed a few sketches and stuff. We sent them off to places on VHS.
That's the old school way of doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it was written on sketches by Matt. And then I'd send them off and people would come back and say, what do you want us to do with this? Because we didn't know. We just thought, you sent them in, they go, I've got a future for you, sonny. That
works. Please, you used to hear stories about that working, but that's probably just like a one in a million story, but that's the one you hear.
Of course, the one you hear. Yeah, but you're not going to borrow the bag. Tell you a story about a lad that sent a tape off and got nothing back.
Yeah. <All right. laughs> Essentially, that's what you just told me.
Yeah. But that, it was on the way to another story. But we used to do that, and it was Farron got a camera for his birthday, and it was like a proper clunky, and every week we'd meet up and. One of us would take the camera home and we'd film sketches and we'd come back and meet up again. We'd watch whatever anyone had filmed. And if we thought it was good, we'd write it up and film it properly.
Right.
We had sketches, like one of them was called Chalk and Cheese, where it's like two detectives from different backgrounds. And that just been absolutely ridiculously, polarized views all the time.
Steve Chalk and David Cheese.
Exactly. Where once they go to, went to this stuffy, because it was a white guy and a black guy, and they go to this stuffy party where he went to school, where it's all like, and they're all dancing to Mozart and that. And anyway, he's trying to find out who murdered, he's shown everyone the picture of the girl, and the black guy gets up and takes over the DJ next to him, what's this shit? And everyone starts dancing, this is the best music we've ever heard. And he's still trying to solve the murder. Can I? Oh, he's like, can I? Oh, he's done it again. And it was stuff like that. And it was, oh God, I used to love it. There was one where, you know, where people where you see men so aggressively shake hands and slap each other on the back. Yeah. And there's we took that and it was a conversation where they went to talk to each other and crushes his hand and then the next one's hey, how are you doing? And then by the end of it they were knife fighting. I see you. Yeah. You're offering my nice holidays.
That's a great sketch.
I used to love doing that. And then went to a workshop in the Hyena when they cared about comedy, when it was downstairs. It was when David Johns and his sister owned it and a few other lads. And Arnold Brown? Yeah. Scottish comic, he was one of the godfathers of modern comedy. He was in there. He's been in, I think he helped write the Comic Strip Presents. And he's the one who came out there. I was supposed to do self-depreciating comedy, but not very good at it. but he's very good. And he was there and he was watching them. It was all the Amdram people there. Mm. And they're all and he said, okay, here's your sketches. And he was wouldn't it be funny if a bear was driving a car. I mean, brilliant. And he was because it was just people oh, this is funny. And then he got to us, and we were these three natters just going, well, we thought, because we watched all the same stuff. As examples, he put Jam, Fast Show, and stuff like that up on the screen to show us, and no one had seen it before, but we were we watched this as our favourite, and we gave him our sketches, and we saw him physically go, ooh, hang on a minute. And then every time he went along to other people, he'd go, what do you think of that? And they go, oh, what would you do? And he goes, all right, well, how about this? This thing's broken, but it's got a weird component. And you go, how would you finish that sketch? And he come back to us, and we go, oh, how about this? And he go, right, write that down. That's better than your idea. So we were universally, yeah, that doesn't really work. And I think one of them came up and tried to make us look stupid. We go, oh, you do comedy, do you? I was well, we write sketches. He went, well, have you ever done stand-up? And I was no. And I go, oh, wait, how about you come try stand-up there? Here, we'll give you a 5-minute spot. My mate's bottled, but I just went,
is that right?
Give it a go. Yeah, I'll give it a go. And I did me and I couldn't have been more relaxed about it. I didn't care because I didn't see it. It's like it was nothing I was trying to aspire to. And I didn't really particularly watch a lot of stand up before that either. I mean, Dave Allen, I used to love watching with my mum and dad. And I had Lee Evans DVD, which I wasn't someone bought it. I wasn't that keen on it, but I've seen him I watched his DVDs and I was nah, he's all right, he's good. But to see him live, because I worked with him at the Glee, I've never seen anyone hold a room like that before.
I did. I went to watch. I was quite new. The first O2 Comedy Gala. Do you remember when they did that? And they were just there were too many comedians on.
Yeah,
and, but they're all top level comics.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it was dragging a lot because there was just too many. And then Lee Evans closed it and everyone was just done. And his first, I'll never forget, his first two, three, four jokes didn't really hit. And then it just went up. And I can't explain what it was. It must have been energy, because the first jokes were good, but it was like, I don't know what it was, but they just, everyone just got on board, and then it was like the gig was starting again.
He's something else, isn't he? He's like, honestly, if you take his jokes like written down and just do them without being Lee Evans, like, it's a fairly mundane average set.
Mm.
But he has just got, like, honestly, it was like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it was Cardiff Glee, and I thought, you know what, I'll go and watch because it's Lee Evans.
Yeah,
and I thought, even though he's not particularly, like, I mean, he's such a lovely man, he's one of the nicest humans I've ever met, but I thought I'd go and watch, and I watched from the back, and I ended up pissing myself laughing at him. Like, yeah. I was just like, the charisma he had. He walked on stage and just went, "You all right? I've got some jokes. No, I'm going to try then." That was it. They were there. And I was just like, it was magic.
Yeah.
It was the only other person I've ever seen do that was, and it was a festival gig, and you know what they're like. I was doing Camp Festival years ago, and Lee Mack was on.
Ah, he's one of my favourites.
And I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've never seen anyone so clearly shift gear. So, like, it was almost physical. He might as well have just gone, right.
Really?
He was on stage, and his first three jokes didn't land. And I just saw him literally nod his head, look around, work out. He must have just worked out what he needed to do in his head in a split second. And he started again. He more or less started again. Mm. Like, he didn't say, "I'm starting again." He did something. And that was it. He tore that room apart. And I was just like, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Like that, because I've seen acts that have got one gear, they go on and go, they die in the first two jokes and go, what am I supposed to do?
But I think Lee Mack is just gifted, isn't he? His brain just is so fast, and
that's
insane. Like, there's a YouTube compilation of all his Would I Lie to You best bits. And I just watched it in awe. The first time I watched it, it's just insane how quick that man is.
Yeah. He's like, that's the difference. The comedy industry, I think it's full of career risks, and I don't like that. I don't like, I always, because when I got into comedy, it wasn't a career. It was a hobby that I did on the side when I worked in the same.
I almost had the same sort of start to you, because I stumbled on it because my mate had been doing comedy, and then he just said, "Do you want to have a go?" And the first time I went into a comedy club was my first gig. I'd never even considered it.
Mine was a back room of a pub just up in fence houses, and my family came with us, and they were absolutely shitting themselves. Like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? This is so nerve." And I was like, "I don't care. What does it matter?" And I had a lovely time, and there was another promoter, and he says, "Oh, would you like a gig here?" And I was like, "Yeah." And my second gig, I timed so badly. In fact, I remember the first time I ever compared, right? I wrote this joke. Oh, it still makes us cringe think about it, but I will tell you, I went, as a comp, you know, I've been hired to warm up the crowd. I've totally misunderstood, and I've got boxes of surplus scarves in my house. Oh, that is dreadful. I just found one of the old notebooks, and it's like, what? It's like the top is like circled in red, as if I'm like, boom. Circled in red.
I mean, I've fought that joke before and decided not to do it.
Exactly. But at the minute, like I say, like there's a lot of careerists in it, and a lot of people just using it as a stepping stone to go and like present TV, which is fair enough. Like, it's when it shows
the actual comedy in the clubs is the most important thing.
I think so. Yeah, then you've got there's a lot of what I call snake oil salesmen at the minute, where they've got nothing, they've got nout, and they are flying up because they're very good at selling nout.
Mm.
I always sound bitter when I'm going on like this, I'm just like, you're doing it wrong. It just annoys us, because I'm watching stuff, and like, it's perfectly reasonable for other people to do a comedy, but I'm just like, what are you doing? There was a perfect analogy. This is years ago. I was driving back from a gig with a very, very famous comic, I'm not dropping the names, but I was driving back, and he used to study musical theatre. And he said, "You know what, mate? I got into musical theatre because I could sing and because I could dance." And he says, "And people were there because they loved musical theatre, and they wanted to be part of it. Mm. And I had to learn how to do everything, and there was nothing natural about the way they did it. And he says it's exactly the same for comedy. Like, the people who come into comedy being massive comedy nerds know how to do comedy. They know the formula of it. If they want to bake a comedy cake, they can do that fine, but it's going to taste like every other cake out there. But if there's people that, if you're not like naturally funny, they're funny, but you can spot the naturally funny people, the ones that have got like that you can spot
quick
them.
Wit and things like that.
Yeah, and I can spot the ones that go, and or anyone that overtly tries to be wacky, that's it for me. I'm like, we're not going to be friends. But like, I mean, say that there's some great comics at the minute, some absolutely brilliant ones. Got some fantastic. There's some comics I really look forward to working with, and I love like some of the older lads, like Andy Askins. I don't think there's a lot touches him. That joke he does, like, had to quit cage fighting, too many rules. That is just coming from someone.
Yeah, that's the thing, because that said by a lot of people doesn't have that same effect. Like, that is so visual on him saying it.
Yeah, because he looks like Penfold.
Yeah, just so mild-mannered and looks just so nice.
I don't think he does this bit anymore. He used to do it with guns. He says, my kids, you know, they wanted one of them Xbox consoles for Christmas. Like, yeah, I had to disappoint them. Anyway. No joke. Just disappointed this chap. It's wonderful. But there's some people I've got my genuinely got some of my favourite jokes, but they cannot deliver them. Like there's a lad. Obviously I'm not naming names, so I'm not telling a joke, but he's got two of the jokes on the set that I think are absolutely incredible. Mm. Like two of my favourite jokes, and he just wastes by spinning over them dead quick, like absolutely like whizzes over them. I'm just like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And there's a lad that he's got two jokes as well, and I don't know who this is, but two of my favourite jokes on the circuit, and I've forgotten who it is. I think it's the same one. He comes on and goes, look, I don't do a lot of audience participation. What don't I do a lot of?
Oh, that's great.
It's magnificent,
isn't it? I love that. Well, if anyone knows who does that,
yeah, if anyone
tweet
knows
us
who that is,
at Jokes with Mark, let us know.
And the other one is, I think it's the same book. He goes, this is apparently there's a shop over the road that sells quilted bed covers. Duvet. It's a conspiratorial thing. Oh, I love it.
Is that person's whole act like that?
I think so. I think he's got a foreign sounding name. I don't think he's English. I just kind of, like, honestly. That audience participation joke is just—it's so simple and so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, great start as well. I love it when I come up with a joke that you could open with. Like, it's so hard to get a good natural opening joke.
Yeah,
I find.
Yeah,
but what's weird is I had my opening joke. So normally, opening joke's one of your best jokes, and then my opening joke for me, even sort of 6-7 years ago, it doesn't work at all now. And it's so weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How that sort of totally shifted. I don't know if it's because I'm different in performance now. I think that might be what it is.
Yeah, I remember it's like how did it used to go when you did a smash?
But the thing is, I think when you're newer, what you think is a smash isn't a smash. So then when you get better, that's probably the reason those jokes don't work. But that joke was the best compared to all the others.
Yeah.
But now it's the worst compared to all the others. So then I guess. I don't know.
I always used to open with the joke, which was a true story about when I used to work in the supermarket, and a woman comes in, buys all our shopping, comes to the counter and buys a scratch card, doesn't win, and then puts the shopping back.
That's I love that.
It's a story of hope, but it's also a tragic story.
That took me a second as well. That's really funny.
Yeah, but like, she didn't put it all back, but she did put some stuff back, and I was like,
so because it is, I mean, that's funny, but because it, like you say, it's a bit tragic.
Yeah.
Did that affect the reaction that it got in gigs?
If up north, where people are like up, I'm not trying to widen this divide, but like northern towns, people, because they recognise that level of desperation to a degree, we go, you know. But if I do like a nice high end gig, like The Boat, I love that gig. I absolutely love that gig. But it does get a bit of moneyed people in because it's
bar Central is London not cheap. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Can I have a gin and tonic? Not the whole bar. All right, that's the price. absolutely ludicrous. In fact, every time I used to do The Boat a lot. And every time we'd do it, they'd get us a bottle of like, supermarket gin. So I didn't have to keep going. Because it would have cost us, because I like a drink at the gig, and it would have cost us about 70 quid a night.
Yeah, it probably cost you more than your fee.
Yeah, and then, if I did that gig up in here, they'd recognise the tragedy, they'd recognise the situation, and they'd laugh themselves. If I did that on The Boat, like, I used to drop it when I did The Boat, because... oh my God, those poor people.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you don't get it. We're fine with being poor. it's all right.
Could you, like, would it change it if you made it you that it happened to? Or does that not?
I never really budged that. I was always really stubborn with my jokes. That's my problem from being early. If it didn't work, I would hammer at it until it got a laugh, and then I'd go, there, see. Yeah. You're wrong.
Matt Reid! Hashtag Awuga to Matt Reid. Good stuff. Lovely. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm sure you did. All feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Lovely stuff. There'll be more over on Patreon if you want some more Matt Reid. Thanks to everyone who's signing up on Patreon.
You also get some often quite surreal chats between us over on Patreon, Mark.
That's true, yeah.
So we really cut loose on the Patreon intros and outros, don't we?
It's because we've run out of everything else normal to talk about, so we just...
Absolutely.
And
I think that's enticing. If I was a listener to this podcast, the producer Joel bits would probably be my favourite bits. And so if I wanted more of those, I'd find them over at patreon.com/jokeswithmark.
Your producer Joel bit and Mark bits?
Yeah.
Because I'm involved as well, Joel.
I meant to say that.
Just you. So do you want to do one of these podcasts sometime, Joel? Because you used to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and I could bring every single bit of material I wrote.
It never worked.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we should do one, actually. I think we should do a special, actually, at some point.
All right.
Have you got your notebooks?
Yeah, I think I have, actually.
Wow. Why haven't we done this yet?
Well, yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, great idea.
Well, when you run out of comedians that are willing to reply to your messages,
next week?
We'll do me.
Oh, good stuff. Lovely. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from
you? Nothing more from you, Joel. #Awuga, everybody. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.